This episode is produced in part by Keep It 100 Productions, a podcast and video production company that specializes in sharing stories of everyday people. Whether you're looking to start your show or need assistance with the upkeep and editing, Keep It 100 Productions will provide a solution that is custom built for your needs. To learn more, visit keepit100prod.com. That's keepit100, the numbers 100prod.com.
Welcome to What's on Your Mind with me, Jannie Rudd.
Hey, What's on Your Mind listeners? It's me, Chorsey from Keep It 100 Productions, filling in for Jannie today while she's traveling the world. Today's episode features Victor Sawyer. Victor is a Memphis-based music teaching artist. In addition to being an in-demand trombonist and band leader for the Lucky Seven Brass Band, Sawyer teaches music at Crosstown High School and works for the Memphis Music Initiative, a youth music nonprofit. This episode also provides stories about mental health and chronic illness. Please keep that in mind before listening. Enjoy!
Hey Victor, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? My name's Victor. I'm just hanging out, enjoying this day right now. Last day is a summer break, so just sort of like kind of being trash a little bit, yeah. Communication-wise, is like not responding as quickly as I should. Okay. Yeah, just because my job, once it gets going again, it's just like...
Oh, yeah. What is summer break for you? What's that duration like for you?
So summer break, the last day of school was May 27th.
Okay.
And then I've been basically on break since then. Still working, but of course not teaching. So like that drops the level of communication I have to do considerably.
Okay.
But on July 27th is when teachers return for training and onboarding. And then August 1st is when I train my teachers. And then August 8th is when everybody's back in the building. So we are rapidly approaching that time.
Wow. This is always the time where I feel like teachers and parents are always like parents are always like, oh, now my kids will be out of the house. Then teachers are like, ah, now I get all the kids.
Yeah. I'm definitely feeling myself get on edge every day that it gets a little bit closer. You know, it's like you get so used to finally like, oh my gosh, that's right. And, you know, the school year is kind of like a time warp where once that first day hits, suddenly you're just like, it doesn't feel like week to week to week. It just feels like, oh, and now it's month to month, or like, oh, a semester's gone, and you're like, wow, that was a whole section of my life, you know?
I mean, it's fine. I'm not a teacher. I consider myself an educator in different ways, but I'm not a teacher. But mm-hmm. I definitely remember being a student and having this feelings of time warp. I can only imagine what it's like for a teacher on the other end of that.
Yeah, especially as an adult now, you know, where you're just like, appreciating more how every year really matters. And I think also with this pandemic year, I think 2020 was such a very specific year. 2021 was such a very specific year. And so every year has like this real specific energy to it now. So it really does feel like, oh, there's a year. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So how did you, what was your story to end up in education?
Let's see, how did that happen? I'm a musician, and then I needed some extra money when I was in college. And they had an outreach teaching program. This was while I was living in New York City for 2 years to get a master's degree. And so I taught up in Harlem at an elementary school 1 day a week. And then I also taught at a school in Washington Heights, which is a Dominican community, mostly Dominican community up in New York City as well. And so then, you know, you put that on your resume, and anytime you need a little extra money, you're like, oh, hey, I've done this thing. And then you just build your resume. You just keep doing it, you know. Keep making money, yeah.
And do you like it?
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. I've been doing it for a long time now. Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. My first teaching job proffer, I was 23 and I'm 35 now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I've been teaching for a long time. So, like, do you like it? That's kind of an interesting question right now.
I guess I should have asked just how do you feel about it?
Yeah. Well, especially, too, in the summer, you know, because once the school year starts, it's kind of hard to, like, reflect on how you feel about it because you have to do it. But, you know, during the summer, you're sort of like, oh, that's right, I'm a human with a life and all that stuff. So that's an interesting question. I can't answer that one yes or no, straight up and down.
Which is absolutely fine. Like I said, it's not an interview. There's no right or wrong answer. Yeah. It's just interesting to see how the things people think about. And like you said, you're a human with a life, and part of your life is being a musician. What is that like for you?
Being a musician's cool too. Being a musician's real great. I play a lot of music all the time. I play a lot, like multiple times a week or whatever. So I really love music. Like, I definitely have a good relationship with music. I think right now, once again, same thing in my career. I've been playing music here in Memphis professionally since I was like 19. And so we're like years of my stuff. And so I'm kind of like in this weird spot now, and like where I'm just like, wow, I've just been doing this thing for a long time, you know? And so I still love music, like love hearing it, like bopping along in my car or whatever. But, you know, just like, what's my relationship to it right now? And like, where do I want to go with it? Kind of like been thinking about that and trying to figure that out. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. And I feel like no matter what sector someone is in, I think that's such a common question for people to ask themselves in different parts of life, of just like, I've been doing this thing, like, now where am I supposed to go with it, like, what's the direction? And I feel like the pandemic too also put a lot of people on that trajectory. I think a lot of people had time just with their thoughts and had time to like look at life differently, and then now we'd be asking themselves those questions more frequently.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, when the pandemic hit and all the music went away, you know, I think there's this common narrative of like, oh my gosh, all the musicians are so sad they don't get to play music. But like, I'm not even gonna lie, like I didn't miss, or let me say, how can I phrase this? It was very nice to suddenly have a lot of free time that I hadn't had in a long time. Like suddenly my evenings were free for the first time in a long time. My weekends were free for the first time in a long time. And so yeah, I definitely miss it. But as far as the grind aspect of it, I didn't really miss that per se, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I am fortunate because I get to play so much before the pandemic and now that things have opened back up. And so my perspective on it is a little bit different. It's not like I was in a situation where I was only playing once a month anyway. Like, I'm playing 3 to 5 times a week already. And that's not including, I practice on my own just to be better at my instrument every day for like 1 to 3 hours. Like, on my own, I do that. And so that's on top of rehearsals with people, and on top of the shows and the sound checks and all that stuff, you know what I mean? And so it's a lot of hours every week going into this thing. And so it was actually kind of nice when things shut down to just like be able to practice, and like I could just practice. And that was my relationship with music. You know, I love performing, but it was nice to have like a glimpse of what it could be without it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I reached out to you on DMs because I saw you perform. I saw you perform with a brass band, which was super cool. Is that brass band one of your projects? Is that your main kind of musical outlet? So what is like your musician life look like?
Yeah, I definitely consider myself like a mercenary of music. So I'm a freelancer. Like, if you need a horn or something and I can do it, yeah, I'm usually pretty down to just go ahead and jump in there. So I'm a freelancer, so I play with a lot of different bands and things like that, all around town, around the area or whatever. But then, yes, the Lucky 7 Brass Band is my band. So that's a band. Wow. So that's one that I started, pick the members, do the social media and the music writing and all that stuff and the performing and the whole deal. So, yeah, that's that one.
I got to say I didn't even come to like see a show. I came for an event. It was at a brewery, and then you all were the musical entertainment.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the best thing ever. I don't even care what I came here for. Like, I think I was sitting in that front row dancing along to you all, because not only was the music like arranged to perfection, but honestly, watching you all play, you're just such a delight, because you can tell that like you feel your music and you were having so much fun. Like,
always.
I was having fun watching you all have fun.
Yeah. I really love playing with the band. It's so funny. As much as I talk about the stress around music or whatever, there's something about it. Once it actually gets going and the show is going, if it's going well, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter to the point where, like, even if I come in with, like, the sniffles or whatever, like, something about playing that horn, it just, like, it just goes away. Like, you forget about it, you know? So it's just fun. It is fun.
Yeah. Wow. You mentioned before we started recording that you've lived some lives. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about that if you want? We also can totally gloss over it and focus more on music and education.
You know, I have bipolar disorder or whatever, and so I got diagnosed with that at 27, a formal diagnosis at 29 actually. But I had been suspected for a while. Other people that suspected that I had it, like in my early 20s or whatever. And so I've just been dealing with that for a long time, like pretty much most of my adult life. And it is, unfortunately, a chronic illness or whatever. So it's like, it's not going to go away. It's not some days I'm bipolar, some days I'm not. It's like an everyday deal. And so just dealing with that and all of the sort of like hardships that come along with that has definitely made life interesting would be the euphemism that I'll use. Interesting. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's definitely a big challenge. Like, there's nothing else in my life that's harder than dealing with bipolar disorder.
I don't have bipolar disorder, but I have generalized anxiety disorder, depression, and I also found out that I have a learning disability when I was in my adulthood. We just high-fived everyone. If you want to know what that sounds. So I understand at least a small piece of kind of what navigating life with something like that, like something that's hidden, you know, to most people. And if it's hidden to the world, it might be the loudest part of our day. So I
like that. I've never heard it put that way. It is the loudest part of my day, even though it's hidden. But, you know, it's funny because when people are like, oh, my God, you're managing it so well. It's funny because it means that, like, it is hidden. And I think people tend to forget about it, you know, when you're managing it well. But when you're not, it's not hidden at all.
Right.
You know, everybody knows. Yeah. They're just like, this person is out.
You know, before you know that you're not managing it well.
They'll know before I know. Not doing a good job. But even then, it's so interesting with something like bipolar disorder. I joke around that it's really just like a disease of shitty behavior, basically. Where, like, how can you tell somebody's not managing it well? Basically, they're just doing ridiculous things. Like, they're just staying up all night. They're not taking care of themselves. Maybe they're spending too much money. But it doesn't look like my leg hurts. It doesn't look like anything like that. It's a behavioral disorder, you know, that's what they call it. And so the symptoms just look like bad behavior, you know?
That's so interesting. I know for me when I can, I mean, they're called manic episodes, but for me, the way it manifests is that it looks like I'm just being really productive. So for other people, they're like, wow, look at her, like, staying up and being so efficient, and she does all these things. And I'm like, well, I'm actually having an episode right now, but I'm really glad that it's translating in a way that you think that I'm not hurting.
Right, right. Actually, not doing great at all. Not doing great at all.
We laugh because it's relatable and it's funny.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was up pretty recently because it's still summer break and I'm like doing all this email work and stuff like this. But it's like 4 a.m. and I'm just like, what am I doing right now? Like, you know, but it's just life. And, you know, it's the thing that we deal with. Everybody deals with their things and that's my thing, you know.
Yeah, so interesting. And I know that you were saying that you got all this diagnosed pretty late into your adulthood. Did you find, like, looking back to your childhood, like, a lot of things you're like, oh, that kind of makes sense? Or is it more?
Absolutely. 100%. Like, you know, you do the retroactive lens and you see the patterns because, you know, in order to really get a diagnosis with bipolar disorder, you have to look at patterns. And so you just have to look at these, you know, anywhere from like a month to a year long cycle periods of your life, you know, and you just say to yourself, okay, let's look at age 20 to 23. And like, we're seeing same patterns, you know, you're doing this, you were like addicted here, like you did that, then, you know, you did this again. Oh, you did this thing where you weren't sleeping again. You know what I mean? And so it's very patterned. And the only way to get a true diagnosis is to just take a retroactive look at your past behavior and then sort of like look at your today behavior. And then the hard part is being like, well, knowing all that, can you fight your own internal, like, I guess, motivations, like what your body and mind really is trying to get you to do and behave like, to be like, yeah, I know that's what I want to do, but I don't want to do that because I know it's destructive. You know what I mean? And so sometimes it's a bit of a frustrating experience to have to sort of like almost do battle with yourself. You know what I mean?
I totally get it.
You know, so your brain will be screaming like, go to the casino. And you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Even though there's this weird part of me that wants to, I don't want to. It's weird. I mean, it sounds weird even as I say it out loud.
You know, that's kind of what healing is like. And I feel like, I know sometimes in my own therapy sessions, like, I'll be saying something, but then I'll be like analyzing my own self as I'm saying it. My therapist will always be like, you're very, what's the word that she uses? Like you're able to analyze your own, like, behavior. And I'm like, exactly. Like, I'm like, you kind of have to, because that's almost what healing is. Like, I almost have to, like, call myself out and name it and recognize it, so I'm doing it, so yeah. that I can maybe make a decision to not do it, but at least I got to know that, like, I have to at least name it. Like,
right.
Those times are like, I feel like I am going into a manic episode, like, I have to at least be like, hey, you recognize that it's happening right now. You can choose whether you want to follow it or not or go to sleep, but you should know that that's what this is.
Right, what are we going to do about it? I don't know, you know? Sit, nothing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do nothing. You know, it's just like, I'm just going to go home. I always joke around. Somebody's like, well, what's some of the best medication you can take? Sleep. Just go home and go to sleep. Just sleep. Do less. Do much less, you know?
All right, it's time for a quick break. And let's get back to it.
And so I'm trying to, like, kind of, like, not, during the summer, not really stress myself out with a lot of decision making or, like, new stuff. Because once the school year starts, I got to be hyper-focused and, like, hyper on it. I'm not only do I teach, I manage a group of teachers, too. And so they're in my charge or whatever. And so that's going to be constant communication. I mean, there's 8 people who I wake up and I just think about them all day. You know, there's 8 adult humans. And if they hit me up at any point in the day, I have got to be there for them, ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so once the school year gets going and my life really just becomes laser focused, a lot of communications, a lot of talking, a lot of appointments, a lot of like this and that and stuff like that. Yeah.
What a cool, you have a cool story. Well, so I want to bring it back to like the fact that like not only are you in the musical landscape here, but you're also in the education landscape here. And I feel like Memphis is such an interesting cross section for both of those things to exist. Like I know like we are in a really interesting city where you know, like there are a lot of different educational opportunities and we have different school systems, like similar with music. It's like we have all of this different, like different types of music and stuff here too. Like what is being in Memphis? I don't know if it does, but does the city itself play a role in your story at all? Like it being specifically here in Memphis?
I mean, I'm from here. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So definitely. I mean, I'm a Memphian 100%. I'm from Hickory Hill. Went to Ridgeway High School. I forgot I'm from Memphis. You got to say your high school. So can't just jump straight to college. Yeah. So grew up in Hickory Hill, went to Ridgeway High School, then went to University of Memphis for my undergraduate degree in music. And then that's when I went to New York City for 2 years to get a graduate degree in jazz music, a master's degree. And then I was gonna stay up there, but it's just too expensive and I couldn't convert. I got into Columbia University actually to get an education master's, but it was like $40,000 and I had just spent $60,000 on my other master's. And I was like, I can't really drop another $40,000. And so I came back to Memphis and yes, I've been here. But yeah, definitely, I mean, I'm a Memphian, so yeah, it plays a role in who I am and my story.
No, and this, I don't know, but do you teach at the same school that you went to, or is it completely different?
So my career, my education life is very similar to my music career, okay. Where I am not, my degree is not an education degree.
Okay.
However, in certain sectors and certain course subjects like that, as long as you have enough related experience and a related degree, you can teach. And so I've taught at a variety of schools. My longest appointment in Memphis was at Stax Music Academy.
Awesome.
I taught there from 2013 to just this year, actually. I just resigned pretty recently. I'd just been there for so long, and like the team there, like some of my former students are teaching there. And I just felt very safe. I felt very cool knowing that there's a team there I can roll out, you know? It wasn't a situation where I was like, oh my gosh, what are they gonna do without me? No, they're gonna be 100% fine. So I took that opportunity and left it under the capable hands of the director. And so I left there.
Wow, I was gonna ask about Stax, but I didn't wanna assume. That's really cool.
Yeah, I just left there in like February.
How, what was that experience like? Like work teaching somewhere that is like such a mark in U.S. history and like musical history?
It's definitely interesting because once again, being from here, sometimes I know growing up, it's easy to forget how important Memphis is in the world. You know what I'm saying? As far as music and just culture and Black culture in particular. And then of course, Stax, that place. I mean, that's one of the pillars of modern music. You know what I'm saying? And so it was definitely interesting working there. I think very much like a lot of other Memphians, I didn't grow up listening to that music at all. And so funny enough, I really got more into it once I started working there because I had to, right? You got to teach the music or whatever. But that got me way connected to music in a way that I wouldn't have ever gotten connected to. Now, that being said, not going to lie, I also learned a little dangerous to get too close to certain things because, I mean, it has only been recently that I started listening really to soul music on my own. Again, I wasn't like, you were not probably going to catch me at a soul music concert for a long time because Monday through Friday for 9 years, knock on wood, hold on, I'm coming, playing the bass lines, playing the drum part, listening to that music, learning it, writing it out, breaking it down.
I was like, why would you do that in your free time?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and it was so, it would always be so funny. I used to be embarrassed about saying that, but as I get, like I said, I'm in my 30s now. So as I get older, I'm like, you know what, just be true to yourself or whatever. But yeah, you know, I really was not listening or enjoying listening to soul music much while I was working there because, you know, you're just doing this thing for work every single day, you know. But luckily now when I'm like out or something, if I'm at the Young Avenue Deli or something and it comes on, I'll be like, oh yeah, knock on wood. Yeah. It's a great song, you know. So it's nice to sometimes you got to put a little distance between the things you really love so you can actually love them.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's very beautiful. That's such an interesting point too. Like, yeah, you want to, it was so cool to be a part of that. But yeah, sometimes if you get a little close and then your work becomes work. It's like, doesn't become fun anymore.
Yeah, you know, how many times can you hear Otis Redding, Doc of the Bay, like every day going over the verse, like for hours, you know, multiple days a week, just being like, well, let's go over it again. Looks like nothing's going to change. And it's just like, but now it's like, I'm ready. Let's go, you know. I think it's fun to play the music too with the brass band just to see how excited people get.
Yeah.
Like when we play those songs, because I put those songs in there, like, because I like them. And it's been nice to reconnect to that music in a way where it's like I can enjoy it like other people enjoy it again, you know?
Absolutely. And this will be my last question. I'll let you go. I'm taking up way more of your time than I was intending because I'm enjoying this conversation.
Okay.
But you said that This wasn't the type of music that you grew up listening to. How did you find yourself to, what navigated you to brass band and soul?
Nothing ever gravitated me to soul except for work. I mean, I just went to middle school, just did music in middle school, joined the band. My older cousin was in band. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to join the band too. So I started playing trombone when I was 13 and just never stopped.
Wow.
I mean, that's literally it. I just joined the middle school band. And that was it.
Look at you. See, if I was doing that, I'd still be playing the flute today. I did not choose that path for myself, but that is awesome.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you find that you're good at something, especially when you're a kid, you just kind of stick with it. And then, you know, when it came time to decide on a major, it was either going to be engineering or music. And I went with music. And so you do it in college. And then you get out of college and you need a job. And you're like, well, I guess I'll just try to play some music. And it just, like, I guess at every life juncture, there's a moment where it's like, all right, I'm about to do this music. Yeah, I guess so. So, and then you just keep going.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I won't ask you what's next for you because I know personally for me, I don't really like people asking me that because I'm like, I don't know. I'm just living in the moment. But you mentioned life juncture. So are you at a life juncture right now? And if so, like what path are you looking to take? Like just down the next 30 days?
You know, right now I know I really want to focus in on my work for this upcoming year. You know, coming out of the pandemic, lockdown portion of the pandemic or whatever, like everyone, I was like, this is really difficult. It's very difficult to do everything. And so this year I really want to have like a knockout year at work. So I do want to do that. I know that. But then maybe moving, something like that. Who knows? You know, I'm a person, I like traveling. It's always going to be difficult because I am a musician and I know that Memphis is one of the best music cities in the world. So moving anywhere is going to limit my options, you know, because I know for a fact being from here, being a musician, I can't go to a city that doesn't have a rich music scene. So yeah, I mean, right now I think that's the big decision for me. Deciding, do I want to stay here and how long? Or do I want to leave and how soon?
I like it. Well, regardless, it sounds like you got a cool adventure ahead of you.
It's been a pretty cool adventure the whole time. So I bet it's going to keep being a cool adventure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your vulnerability and sharing too. And how it's nice to kind of meet someone else who's grappling with something similar. So yeah. It's good to just bond over stories too.
Trauma bond.
Thank you, Victor.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or any other episode, please rate, review, subscribe, follow, all of the things. Thank you to all the supporters and sponsors of What's On Your Mind. Check out JanieRod.com for my latest updates. Well, friends, till next week.